For these last couple of weeks, I've been talking about how to handle seasons of testing. How to handle seasons of testing. And I want to continue on with this thought for this week and hopefully speak some things that will help you to become strengthened and encouraged in your walk. In one of the passages or one of the pieces I've read, talking about testing and talking about temptation, it makes this statement, and I want to start with making this statement. God tests human beings' faithfulness with various tools such as hardship or difficult commands. If we overcome, say if we overcome. Everybody, come on, say if we overcome. It says, if we overcome the temptation to turn back against God in the face of these difficulties, they will prove their steadfastness and pass the divine testing. Let me read this to you again. God tests human beings' faithfulness with various tools such as hardship or difficult commands. If they overcome the temptation to turn back against God in the face of their difficulties, they will prove their steadfastness and pass the divine testing. It's in it's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. It says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in him. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your work, your efforts are not in vain in him. Last week, we looked at the passage of Deuteronomy 8, and I was speaking 1 through 8, and it's from that passage that I talked about God's gracious dealings prepare you for abundant blessing. It's when we read in that passage, it says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. It goes on and says there, a little further down, it says, thus, we are to know in our heart, that you are to know in your heart that the Lord was disciplining you. Now, I helped you understand that disciplining wasn't punitive, but that disciplining was teaching you, preparing you, training you, just as a man disciplines his son. It says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Now, that's one of the things that we don't really recognize or allow ourselves to focus on, and that is whenever you find yourself in a place of testing, recognize that there's something God is doing to bring you into a better place. Say a better place. A more mature place. Say more mature place. Sometimes the challenge is we're so focused on what we're going through that we miss what we're going to. You have to keep before you that God's plans and intentions for you are good no matter what. That's why in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah is speaking and he's helping them to recognize that Jeremiah 29:11, we like to quote that passage of scripture, I know the plans that I have for you, they're good and not evil, to bring you into an expected place, a good place. But all of that is wrapped up in 40 years that they're going to have to walk through. What God is doing, though, is he's giving them a word. He's giving them something they can hold on to while they're going through the process. Now, I want to tell you this. I believe God continues to bring word to you and I for us to hold on to. But if you're not disciplining yourself concerning that word, when you find yourself in the situation, that word is not going to be there to help you get through the situation. And so we find ourselves, then we're challenged. And the thing that the enemy always wants you to do is doubt God. That's his trick, his ploy every time. Going all the way back to the garden. Did God say? Hath God said? Did God really say? And one of the things that I find myself challenged by is helping believers come into that place where you recognize no matter what you're dealing with, God's intentions for you are good. Stay the course. Do not doubt God. Do not doubt his intentions. Do not doubt his love for you. Do not doubt his kindness towards you, his desire for you to succeed and not fail. Living out the word is a whole lot different than just going to church. And I found that God-loving, God-fearing people will bail out just like those who don't know God if there's no word to sustain them. Okay, let me say that again, and like three more of y'all just holler something. I have really found that God-fearing, God-loving people will bail out in difficult times, just as those who don't know God. Why is that? I believe it's because never coming into an understanding of the word and how it's supposed to be working in our lives. I'm stronger than when I started this year. I am more convinced than I've ever been concerning the purposes of God for my life. And it's because I choose to see it from a perspective that causes me to never doubt God.
Yes.
How do you handle seasons of testing? Listen, never doubt God. Never doubt his intentions. When God spoke through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29, the thing that he was making it clear is, look, there's some issues you got that got to get worked out. We're going to take 70 years to get it straightened out. In the meantime, I'm going to bless you in this land that you're in. At the end of 70 years, I'm going to come and get you. You see, the thing that you see in the passage of Deuteronomy that I read, it says, after the testings, it says, then he moves him into a place of blessing.
Yes, that's right.
So is it possible that God will test us before he blesses us? Yes. Is it possible that God will allow you to be tested before he really blesses you? Is it possible that God will put you in a space and allow all hell to break loose only to see, will you ride out the storm and get on the other side of it where the blessings are? Come on, just somebody clap with me. I need y'all just to work with me here just a few minutes. Because I have found another place in God. I said that in my email. I found another place in God. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's that mean? That means there's secret places in him.
Yes.
Show me where you are today, your secret place, and Lord, I won't delay to come where you are. I'm drawn by the familiar, but it doesn't satisfy the yearning in my heart for more of you. Lord, I hunger for your presence. I'm searching for that door. I know in you are places I've never been before. Show me where you are today. And he says, okay. Now, I'm going to show you where I am today, but you wouldn't necessarily go there on your own, so I'm going to let this happen because it's going to move you to the place of where I am today. God will orchestrate things in your life, and if you don't recognize it's God orchestrating it, you will fight it, you will resist it, and you'll never get the benefit of the season that you find yourself in. Some of the storms and the testings you go through is going to be a lonely place. You're going to have to go by yourself because nobody else sees it. Nobody else wants to see it. Nobody else has words of encouragement for you because they're looking at you thinking you never should have done it anyway. You never should have believed for it anyway. Somebody just holler amen. Okay, now I'm just talking to y'all because for the next few moments, like I said, I'm going to pull you into where I'm at. Then you can go wherever you want to go at 11:35. Okay, now I'm serious. See, if I can't pull you into this place, then I need to go talk to some other people who want to go into this space and this place. I've seen some things in the spirit. And it's the will of the Father to bring it into reality. You have to be able to walk in that same place. But it's in James 1, verse 2 through 8, and this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my time. That's the key for you and I. In James 1, verse 2, it says, consider it joy. Consider it joy. Get excited. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance. Somebody say endurance. It says, let perseverance work its work, finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Consider it all joy. The Message Bible says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. I felt like this is a year of it coming from all sides. As soon as one thing seemed to kind of get itself together, I mean, I'm in Atlanta sharing the testimony of the $60,000 blessing to get the boilers fixed, only to 2 weeks later have them shutting off the power to the whole building. I'm talking about it coming from every side. And it would seem like at some point, see what the enemy wants, hear me now, what the enemy wants is for you to fold. Brother Jerry. Come on a little closer, please. Come on a little closer, Jerry. Would you all thank the Lord for Dr. Jerry Kirk?
Amen. Thrilled to be here.
Thank you for coming. Thank you. See, if you can understand this principle, hear me now, if you can understand the principle that when trials hit, God is forming something, God is setting the stage for something. That when the trial hits, when the test comes, then you can focus on, okay, what is it, Father, that you really have for me on the other side of this? So in the Message Bible says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know, hear me now, you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows your true colors. Shows your true colors. Because you see, as believers, we all dress up real nice. We can quote the scriptures, but it's only in times of testings that you then are tempted to then see how you're going to live out the word of God, how you're going to walk out the word, how are you going to apply the word. And that's why I say, you know, well-meaning, God-loving, God-fearing believers will bail out just as quickly as those who don't know God if they have not allowed the word to work in them and establish this place that it talks about where it says, let perseverance finish, or let patience, that's what it says in the King James, let patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Every test you go through, every storm you deal with, every trial you go through is to mature you. There is something about that that gives opportunity for you to trust God in a greater way, stand on His word in a greater way, exercise your faith in a greater way. And then once you've come through it, hear me now, it should settle something in you, cause you to be complete in a way that then forever changes the way you walk out the rest of your Christian existence on planet Earth. It needs to, it at some point, it's got to forge something on the inside of you. That in the spirit, you're bulked up. I mean, your muscles are bulging because your faith is huge. And it doesn't matter what your physical frame looks like, it's how you walk it out. But when you find yourself in these times, what will affect it will be your attitude and your perspective. Your perspective will affect your attitude about it. And if you find yourself in a situation and you're there and you're saying, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why me? You know what? It's a good chance it's you, because you didn't get it the last time. And so the opportunity presents itself again. Why? Because, hear me now, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Word, to bring you and I into the fullness of Christ. Let me say it again. It is the work of Holy Spirit and the working of His Word to bring you into the fullness of Christ. Now, coupled with, if you will, the divine purposes and strategies and plans of the Father. So He sets a scenario up, places you in that situation. Holy Spirit working, Word working, should bring you on through that, and when you come out, you walk more like Jesus. You look more like Jesus. You talk more like Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about King James these and thous. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying there is a resolve in you, just like when Jesus got up out of that Garden of Gethsemane and he started walking out, it was already finished for him. He wasn't still trying to decide, Father, if you want to get me out of this, you can. It was already finished for him. And there should come a point, hear me now, there should come a point for every believer where certain things are settled no matter what. And you live out of that place, you walk in that place, and when things start to happen, you're not moved by it. Jesus was not moved by anything all of his life, but particularly when he came up out of that garden. Because if there ever was going to be a test for him to abort going to the cross, it was from the time he came out of that garden to the time he got on the cross, which is another message in itself. The closer you get to your destiny, the closer you get to purpose and destiny, the greater the challenges will be, the greater the testings, the greater the storms. And that's where the enemy gets most people most of the time, because just about the time you're about to see the breakthrough of what you've been believing for, the enemy hits you so hard, so many times, that you go back to your corner and tell somebody, throw in the towel. I'm not going back out there for another round. God knows you. He knows me. He knows our frame. He knows that there is that part of us, Brandon, that in the midst of what's going on, we do start to ask those questions. And we say, why did this happen? What's going on? Those questions are real. It's what you do with them. Hear me now, because this is what the Word says. If any man lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, the Message Bible says it this way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. God knows that there's times you and I, we're struggling with it. We don't know, but don't doubt God. Don't doubt God's intentions. Don't ask like you're trying to figure out if God is for you. That's settled. I just need some direction and some wisdom on how to navigate through this storm. How to navigate through this trial. How to navigate through this experience that has hit my life when I thought it was going to go another way. And then he says this, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. The Message Bible says it this way. Ask boldly. Yes. Believingly. I like that. Yes. Without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think they're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all their options open, meaning never really committed. Never really committed. Never. Some things, hear me, some things will not happen in your life until you are 100% committed. And God knows the difference. 99 and a half just won't do. 100%. 100% in. 100% in. 100% in. Meaning I will leave this planet believing that God is in this.
Yes.
When you ask, you must believe. Believe what? Here's 4 points I'm going to give you real quick and we're done. Number one, you must believe that God is with you no matter what things look like. Number one, you must believe that God is with you no matter what things look like. Come on, say, God is with me no matter what things look like. Say it again. God is with me no matter what things look like. Come on, say, God, I know you're with me. No matter what this looks like. Now, if you believe that, thank the Lord right now. God is with me no matter what this thing looks like. God is with me. See, if you're going to pray out of that place, asking boldly, believingly, without a second thought, you need to be real clear. And you need to be able to say that to the devil and to any situation you're dealing with. God is with me. Now, I may not feel him right now. I may not think that I can see him right now. But he is with me. He is with me. And he's not afar off. He is with me. Number two, you must believe that God hears you.
Yes.
And is eager to respond when you call out to him. You must believe that God hears. You must believe that God hears you and is eager to respond when you call out to him. Because there are times when it's so dark, it seems so dismal, so challenging, that you can feel like God isn't with you. Okay? But you got to settle that God is with me. Secondly, you got to settle the fact that he hears you. That he always hears you. Know that when you pray, see, a double-minded man will pray out of a place like, God, I don't know if you're really here, but if you are, well, that's a bad place right there. Because you're doubting that God is with you. You're doubting that God is walking this out, that God is ordering your steps. The scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So not only is he with me, but he hears me. And as it says here, when you ask, it says he will not respond in a condescending way, but he will respond in a loving way, because he's eager. God is eager to see you blessed. God is eager to see your success. God is eager to see you walk out purpose and destiny. God is eager to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. So number one again, that God is with you no matter what things look like. When you ask, ask believing that God hears you and is eager to respond when you call out to him. Sometimes when we're in a situation, you don't have to know how to pray. You don't have to have the ins and outs of it. God isn't waiting for you to give him the details of your situation to respond to it. Sometimes all you got to say is, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Come on, y'all, practice that right now. Jesus, help me. Some mornings I wake up and that's the first thing I say before I get out of bed. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. This thing is huge. This thing is huge. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. That's all. Sometimes that's all you got to pray. You got a situation that you can't figure it out? You ain't got to try to clue God in on it. Just say, Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me answers. Give me strategies. And at the very least, give me peace. Oh, God. You know you found a place in God when all hell is breaking loose and you're still singing. Yes. And you're still worshiping. I found that place of peace.
Yes.
I found that place of rest.
Yes.
Can you imagine when word comes, when Paul is on his way to Rome and now they're in the storm around Acts 20. 26, 27, around there, and the storm is hitting, and it looks like everything's going down, and an angel appears and tells Paul, don't worry, you must appear before Caesar, you're going to be all right, and as a matter of fact, everybody in the boat's going to make it, but everybody got to stay in the boat. Now, the boat's not going to make it in one piece, but everybody's going to make it, and Paul has the confidence and the peace of God, enough confidence to share that with the men. Yea, I say, an angel appeared to me. Oh, he crazy. He got to be crazy. An angel appeared to me tonight. Let me know that I'm going to be okay. You're going to be okay if you stay in the boat with me. We all going to make it to the shore because I must reach my destination. That's peace. That's confidence. And every now and then you need some folk around you who can speak with that confidence.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm just trying to be that person for some of y'all right now who are wondering what in the heck is going on. Paul said, we're going to make it. You're going to make it. But you need to stay in the boat. There's got to be, and listen to me now, God will send somebody, if it's not you, God will send somebody to settle you. That's the beauty and the power of prophetic ministry, to help you bring a word to you in a most challenging time, a most testing time, that settles you, that brings you back to a place of peace. Know that he hears you. When you ask, you must believe, number three, that God is for you and he's working in everything going on. That God is for you. And everything, no matter what it is working for your good. And to his glory. Paul lived that experience. That's why in Romans 8 and 28, he could write that. And we know that. Most people quote the scripture and they say, all things work together for good to them that love God, are the called according to his purpose, which is true. But the power is not in that. The power is in, and we know that. I know that. I know that, Bonnie. I know that all things, I know that. I know that all things, not some things, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. No matter what it is, physically, financially, relationally, family issues, marriage issues, whatever it is, children issues, grandchildren issues, great-grandchildren issues, whatever it is. Listen to me. You may be the one, like Paul was the one in the boat. You may be the one in your family. You may be the one in the situation that God wants to give a word, and you have the faith, you have the courage to stand up and speak that word. From that moment on, Paul was fine. Paul knew exactly how this thing was going to roll out. And the last point, when you pray, believe that God's plans for you will come to pass. That God's plans for you will come to pass. There is a place in walking with God where you settle that. And as a result of settling that, you can walk in a place of peace and you can walk in a place of confidence. And over the course of your life, over the seasons of your life, you begin to have this sense that all of this is leading to the ultimate fulfillment for the reason for which I was born. God's plans for you will come to pass. God's plans for you are coming to pass. You simply must stay the course. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your effort, that your work is not in vain. That's how you handle seasons of testing. That's how you handle seasons of testing. Tracy, go back to number one. Let me just recap them real quick. Number one, read it with me. That God is with. Okay, y'all do read, right? Come on. Look, it's on the screen right up here. We're all together now. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. That God is with you no matter what things look like. Now, I want you to put me in there, okay? Here we go. That God is with me no matter what things look like. Number two. That God hears me and is eager to respond when I call out to him. Number three. That God is for me and is working in everything going on. Number four, that God's plans for me will come to pass. Come on, if you believe that, thank the Lord for it right now. Thank the Lord for it right now.